This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey everybody, the latest edition of Gun on One is locked and loaded and ready to go. You know, when you look at the NFC Championship game, it's exactly the way it was meant to be. The number one and number two seeds going at it for the right to go to the Super Bowl. And the advantage for the Eagles, they have it right there in their own backyard. So we're going to spend this edition of Gun on One breaking down all the matchups, all the pros and the cons, the pluses and the minuses, so on and so forth. And for this edition of Gun on One, I brought in a special friend. I've known this dude for a while. Very seldom do we talk serious. We're always taking shots at each other and trying to one-up each other. I'll tell you who it is in just a moment on this edition of Gun on One. We're about to step to the line of scrimmage.
This is Sal Palantonio from ESPN.
I'm Brandon Graham.
Lane Johnson here.
This is the magnificent DJ Jazzy Jeff.
This is Donovan McNabb.
This is Chris Long.
This is Mark Zumoff, the TV voice of the 76ers on NBC Sports Philadelphia.
This is Eagles Hall of Fame quarterback Ron Jaworski.
Hello, I'm Jay Wright, head coach of Villanova basketball.
Hey, I'm Brian Westbrook, and you're listening to the Gun on One podcast.
And what's happening? This is your blessed boy, Brian Dawkins, Hall of Famer, and you're locked in to Gun on One.
You are locked in to the Gun on One.
Gun on One.
Gun on One.
You are locked on to Gun on One.
I've been on the air for 25 years, but I could not wait to be on Gun on One with my man, Derek Gunn.
ESPN bracketologist Joe Lunardi telling you to stay locked on to Gun on One. It is a number one seed.
All right, we're back on this edition of Gun on One. And as I promised, I got a special guest tonight. You see him with me every day, Monday through Fridays, noon to 3 p.m. on our Sports Take show right here on the Jacob Sports Media YouTube machine, which also powers the Gun on One podcast. He is the one and only. It's like Batman and Robin, Green Hornet and Kato. You know, I guess that's the way we have to describe our relationship. My man Barrett Brooks is hopping on right now. What's up, E. Brooks?
Hey, man, I don't call what you call, just as long as you keep calling me, bro.
Hey, man, look, we're in the middle of the week here, and we love to talk football. But do you get to a point where you're just tired of talking about it? Let's just get this game here, man. I'm tired of talking about this game.
Well, you know what? I don't get tired of talking about football, the game, or anything. I am going to take a break after the Eagles go to this Super Bowl. I'm going to take about a week off and go down to Florida, man, do a little fishing, man. But right now, man, we're in the midst of it, man. And I'm just really blessed to be doing what I'm doing, man, especially with you, man. But, you know, just being able to talk about a team that's had some success, doing real good right now, man. It's, you know, this is what I'm talking about, man. This is why I signed up to do this.
Hey, man, thank goodness we're not talking about, like, Houston or some team like that. You know,
we went through that before now.
Woo! Hey, but look, all right, so let's get right to it. And we're going to look at the matchups, the pros and cons, the ups and downs, the pluses and the minuses. And I'm going to start with your forte. We're going to start in the trenches. And I want to start with this one because I love how you break this stuff down. I'm going to hit you with this. How do the Eagles' O-line control the San Francisco defensive front? A very good defensive front. That's the number one defense in the league.
Well, I mean, basically, it's strength against strength. You know, you talk about one of the better front sevens in the NFL. In fact, it might be the best front seven as far as linebackers and down linemen in the league with the 49ers. But then you turn around, you have the most dominant offensive line in the NFL with the Eagles, you know, and seeing them go out there and do what they do. You know, I watched tons of film And it still amazes me how good that offensive line is. And over the past week, I've been watching a whole lot of film on the 49ers. And I've actually been watching them, you know, for probably the better part of 5 weeks now, all their games and checking them out. They are a good defensive front. They don't do a lot of blitzing. They don't do a lot of, you know, trying to cover their fronts and trying to hide what they're trying to do. They just basically line up and just go, which makes them unique in the NFL. D'Amico Ryans does a great job of his being able to adjust at halftime. And that's what makes their team. So that's why they kind of struggle in the first half. But then the second half, they come out and they just shut you down because their in-game adjustments aren't that good. But once after the first quarter and they go in and halftime, their half-game adjustments are impeccable, you know, and that's when they turn things up on you. So it's imperative the Eagles want to win this game to go out there and basically just do what they want to do. Whatever they feel like they need to do, they need to do it. A lot of people saying run the ball. I'm not even saying do that. I am saying do what you feel comfortable with, what Jalen is feeling comfortable with, and they'll be good because they can pass the ball on this defense. As long as they can block Nick Bosa, they can pass the ball on this defense. They can get it out to quarterbacks. Jimmy Ward and Chidavius Ward are average at best as far as their cornerbacks. And it'll be great matchups with Devontae Smith and especially A.J. Brown, who's going to go out and have a great game simply because he didn't have a great game this last week. So, yes, this is a game for the ages, you know what I'm saying? This is where you want to watch football because this is strong against strong, men against men, two teams trying to impose their wills on in the trenches.
You played in the NFL for more than a decade. You started with the Eagles. You played with Pittsburgh. You played with the Green Bay, Detroit. Did you ever play with an offensive line as good as this one?
No. I played with a great offensive line, too. When I was with the Steelers, you know, we had Marvell Smith. You know, we had a Hall of Famer with us. You know, Alan Faneca. You know, he was playing there, man. It was Max Starks. We had a really, really, really – Chris Kimuatu, offensive line that whenever we wanted to do what we wanted to do, we could run the ball when we wanted to run it. We could pass the ball when we wanted to pass it. We had a Hall of Famer in Alan Faneca who could just shut down whoever you have on the other side of the ball. I mean, there were times where if the left tackle was getting beaten, we put in Alan Faneca and he can go out there and shut him down. You know, that's how good this guy was. So we had a dominant offensive line, but it still didn't compare to what I see in the Eagles offensive line. To have two guys, the starting center, the starting right tackle, go 2 years without giving up a sack. That's unheard of.
That's crazy.
Unheard of. So, yeah, this is the most dominant offensive line I've ever seen.
Can the 49ers offensive line slow down the ferocious Eagles pass rush?
No. And woo! I think that's where the game will be won. On the defensive side of the ball, their offensive line against our defensive line. We're talking about 70 sacks. And, oh, we got Hassan Reddick lined up over a turnstile in Mike McGlinchey. And I hate to say that because he's a local kid from Philadelphia. But McGlinchey, man, he couldn't fight his way out of a whip.
You called him a turnstile?
Turnstile, bro. Turnstile. You know, and they have two young guys playing for him. The right guard's Buford. He's a rookie. Now he's gonna be lined up one on one against, you know, some really good passers like Fletcher Cox and Hargrave. I mean, it's gonna be a long day for their offensive line, you know. And I'm gonna tell you what. Yes, I think that Trent Williams is the best left tackle in the league, but I really see the matchup that he's going to be hard for him to try to defend is when he goes against BG. BG is short, he's stocky, speed to power, and what makes those guys like he's like Hugh Douglas. They're hard to block because they're so low and tight to the ground, and they could turn the corner with power. Mm-hmm. That's what makes them hard to block. And Trent Williams is one of those guys. He's a waistbender. He's still a mean SOB, but he can play.
All right, let's go to the skill positions. The Eagles set wideouts and they're tight end against the 49ers pass defense. You just touched on it. You don't think the 49ers pass secondary is that good. Expose them a little bit more for me.
Well, I mean, if you look at it now, Tayshaun Gibson, he's a good center fielder, you know, safety. But then you got, you know, Hufanga. Hufanga's a box safety. He's one of those guys like Troy Polamalu. Not really a good cover guy, but he can blitz. Mm-hmm. He's sound in his coverage, but you know, he's one of those dynamic players that you got to watch where he is, because he's going to come up, make the tackle, and he gets there with a nasty disposition. I look at their cornerbacks, you know, Jimmy Ward, you know, Charvarius Ward, both okay corner, they're average corners. Ward being one of those taller corners that, you know, that can get beaten, susceptible to the double move. Lenore is an okay cornerback, but can they cover the likes of our wide receivers? I mean, this is going to be a big game for A.J. Brown, because number one, he had three catches for under 40 yards. That's a, to him, he feels disrespected that he didn't do that. Not disrespected by the offense or anything like that, but he just, he doesn't feel as though he's an impact player, so he needed to impact the game, and he didn't think that that was enough for him to impact the game. So I see him going out and really impacting this game. They're going to make sure they get him the ball, because that's what they do. You know, they would win a couple of games without getting the ball to, you know, to our tight end, you know, Dallas Goedert. They force fed him the ball after that. They did the same thing with Devontae Smith, wasn't getting the ball. They force fed the ball to him. I can see him doing the same thing, especially against his secondary, and him really racking up some yards, because they, I mean, he's a tough physical guy. Mm-hmm. I mean, they see the same type of guy in Deebo Samuels, but I mean, when I look at A.J. Brown, he's bigger than him. He's faster than Deebo Samuels. He's just in a more opposing, to me, freak of nature out there at the wide receiver position. I really feel as though if you could block Nick Bosa, the second guy as far as sacks is Omenihu. Mm-hmm. And right now he's in some trouble. So
yeah,
he only had five sacks. He had 1.5 sacks against this team last week against Dallas. But I don't think at this point that they're better than our offensive line. And if we can slow down Nick Bosa, we can have a field day throwing the ball.
Okay. Now, the 49ers collection of pass catchers and tight end is the best group that the Eagles pass defense has faced all season long.
Right.
How do you match them up with the Eagles secondary personnel with what San Francisco's going to be throwing at them?
It's all about playing press coverage, and Gannon has to be comfortable with playing press coverage. So number one, you got to take that first read away from this rookie quarterback. If you can make Brock Purdy hold the ball just a second longer, it allows your defensive line to get there. What he's been doing is he's been throwing a lot of balls in the middle of the field because they're giving him enough time because that first read is there, the slant play. Mm-hmm. I watched the game against Dallas, and I saw how the linebacker, what's the name, number 42, came from Minnesota. I forget his name. Starting linebacker allowed the, you know, inside, you know, by Deebo Samuels just to go straight inside. You got to cut that off. You got to play more aggressive. You got to cut off that first read. And I really believe we have the corners to do that. I mean, Bradbury and what's his name? Slay. Yeah. Bradbury and Slay are two of the best corners in the league. You know what I'm saying? It's the best tandem in the league. They can go up and play press covers, and with CJ GJ back in the fold, and he's back in his natural position of playing the slot, he plays tighter coverage, eliminate all those comeback routes, all those stop routes, all those slant routes from the first initial read by Purdy. That means he has to take it, hold it a little longer, and now they can make him move off a spot. They can make him uncomfortable being in the pocket because we have the horses to get there. Hassan Reddick will get there, but it's all about first down being the number one down. If we can stop him on first down and then turn around and stop that first read, we have an opportunity. Because if you allow him to get the ball out like on a wheel route or a swing pass out to Christian McCaffrey or a little stop route over the ball with George Kittle, it could be a long day because that's how you keep the chains moving. And he loves to throw balls in the middle of the field. Why? Because he'd have a strong enough arm to get the ball on the outside.
Now, there's been a Avante Maddox sighting at practice this week.
Oh!
Would you play him, even if he's deemed considering how serious that toe injury was? Would you play him, or would you spin the roulette wheel and hold him out, hoping that you get to the Super Bowl, and right. then give him an additional 2 weeks to rest that toe?
There is no tomorrow.
Okay.
All right. For what? There is no tomorrow. If he's healthy enough to play, let him play. That way we'll be full strength. That way we'll have CJ Garner-Johnson at the safety position.
Yeah.
Now he can go in and cover Kittles. He can go in and cover Christian McCaffrey out of the backfield. Allow him to do that at the safety position. If he's out of the slot, that means he's going to have to be over wide receiver. He's going to have to go out there and cover Brandon Ayuk, Deebo Samuel. And I like that. I still like that matchup. I think he's good enough to play against all those guys. But, you know, when you look at what they do on that side of the ball, you know, Shanahan loves to motion guys. He puts Deebo Samuel everywhere. He'll motion them to try to keep and create matchups with him. He'll put him in the backfield, have him running like a running back. He'll put him at the slot. He does so many things with the versatility that he has as far as players that it's hard to get a beat on him. It's hard to get a cover guy on him with the right matchup. So this will be a big game for a guy like Kazir White, also a guy like Kayvon Wallace. He's going to have to play that Swiss Army knife for this defense.
John, in this game, and that's something they've been somewhat shoddy on this season, because the 49ers pass catchers are the best in the business at yards after the catch. Is there too much of an emphasis made on the tackling? If this thing is keeping people in front of you, as long as you keep them in front of you, you deal with what comes?
No, they're going to have to tackle and come up and make the tackle as soon as they get the ball. Because their yak yard is just crazy, man. Just like you mentioned, they can get the ball, and that's where they get most of, because they're not throwing the ball way down the field. Where like you would think they are, you know, with the amount of yards right. They have. They're more so a short passing game, and they were able to break free. Brandon Ayuk break free and for longer yards. Deebo Samuel stiff arm with people's after the catch. We know with George Kittle's just a monster, you know what I'm saying? He doesn't respect anybody coming up to tackle him. So they're going to have to go out there and tackle well, which is Kayvon Wallace has done a great job of going out there and tackling. I gave him the business the first half of the year. I'm like, you know, teasing. I'm like, hey, man, how's Kayvon Wallace let a rookie, Reed Blankenship, come take his position? Well, since then, since they called him into duty with, you know, Avante Maddox being out the lineup, and, you know, you look at, you know, the mere fact that, you know, you didn't have Avante Maddox or CJGJ for a good period of time, he's come in and really been a solid tackling guy, making plays. He covered tight ends pretty well, you know what I mean? So I watched the Saints game. He played pretty well that game. The Giants, both Giants games, he played daggone well. So I got to give him his props. He's playing at a high level right now. So, you know, he'll be key. Like I said, Kassir White will be key. He's going to have to make tackles. Can't miss him like he's been doing. In fact, he's been playing a better game the last two games also. He's got to play above and beyond what he's been playing. And, you know, it's going to be a great game for Epps. Epps is going to have to play his butt off too, you know, coming up making plays.
All right, 49ers run defense, number two in the league, giving up less than 78 yards a game. But you said on our Sports Take show, you feel Miles Sanders could have a big day in this game, correct?
And they just go running between the tackles. See, okay. A lot of teams try to run to the sideline. You don't do that against a team with the speed that the 49ers have. You run right at them. You know, like Tyson always says, everybody has a plan until you get hit in the mouth. Well, you go out there, you hit them in the mouth, and they be like, oh, what's going on? You know what I'm saying? I mean, yes, you know, Dre Greenlaw is a good tackler. Fred Warner is a good tackler. But can they tackle with the likes of Jason Kelce line up over them and hitting them in the mouth? And as they're getting put on their back, can they tackle a guy like, you know, Miles Sanders? It's going to be tough for that. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you got Landon Dickerson putting his hat on people. When you're drive blocking, you get up on the second level, and this team is the best team as far as getting up on the second level. Block down, pull Kelce around, get up on those linebackers. I don't care how good you are, you can't tackle somebody with somebody, you know, hands up in your chest like this, drive blocking you. You're not tackling anybody like that. I don't care how good Fred Warner thinks he is. You got to make sure that you make those plays. And you got to watch how this team also does too. Javon Kinlaw and Kinlaw – and Eric Armstead are great at holding. They hold better than offensive linemen.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hold a lot of time, and if I was, I would say this: I bet you, I almost guarantee you, that that Coach Nick Sirianni has sent a letter to the league, sent the film to the league on how those defensive linemen are holding them and not letting them get to their second level, not letting them get up on those linebackers. That's why a lot of the times you see those guys, Fred Warner, those guys getting free because they're holding them, keeping offensive linemen getting off of them. You know, playing against guys like that is tough because when they try to get in a double team them, as you're double teaming them, they're holding you getting it. So you're trying to get off on the linebacker. They got your pass and they won't let you off. So we did stuff like, all right, when you go in to block them, then we'll chop them to get them off our hands off them. Then we get to the second level. Or if we get to them and we're dry blocking, we hold right here, we do spin moves, spin out of the block, then get to the linebacker. There are ways in which you can do it, man, but it's tough. When you play against big guys up front, they hold as good as they do.
Mm. Well, this Eagles run defense it concerns me a little bit. You know, they give up almost 122 yards a game. 49ers running attack averages 138 yards a game, but they don't do it with just one back. They do it with an array of backs. They do it with running backs. Deebo Samuel's running the ball as well. But Christian McCaffrey is the key, and we've said this time and time again. It's a crime that trade was even made to allow him to go to San Francisco. Yeah. So I got to ask you this. Are you more concerned about McCaffrey running the ball or him catching the ball out of the backfield?
Catching the ball out of the backfield or okay. Wherever they're going to put him. Yeah. They line him out there receiver, and he's a good enough player that he could play receiver out there. You know, why? They put him everywhere. They motion him. They try to – they give him the same respect that they give Deebo. They allow him to go out there and create matchups by motions, by lining up in different places, you know. I mean, he's that good. They line up in a wing position. You got to account for where he is. You got to put an athlete on him that can cover him also. So, you know, he's a weapon that you got to make sure that you put somebody on. You got to put a hat on him. And do we have somebody to do that? We'll see. I've said a couple names, Kazir White, Kayvon Wallace. They got to step it up. Maybe even, you know, a time or two have a Reed Blankenship on them. But they've got to make sure that they impede him from going out there and running wide open, wide and free. And, oh, it's not just him. They got the Juszczyk. Juszczyk is also a guy that you got to keep an eye on because it looked like he's going to block somebody. And next thing you know, he's running out there in the flats wide open. So, you know, Shanahan is great at creating matchups from where matchups shouldn't even be. He, you know, he mostly gets guys in different situations where he makes you have a mismatch. So, I mean, this will be a great game. You know, the chess match between Kyle Shanahan and Gannon, this is where, you know, football games are made. This is where I want to see where Gannon this, and this is also resumes for, you know, Shane Steichen.
Yeah.
Versus D'Amico Ryans. You know, this is these four coaches got to have extraordinary games because they're playing against extraordinary teams. That's the thing about the playoff. You may be playing against just guys throughout the season, but once you're in the playoffs, the farther you go, the better the talent is you go against. And that's where, you know, I really think the Eagles can go stiff, tick for tap with them because they have the same amount of talent, if not more, than this 49er team.
I want to hone in on the quarterbacks for just a moment. I'll start with Jalen Hurts. What's the best way for Jalen to frustrate what you described as a very fast defense?
Same thing that they did to Michael Parsons. They were able to use his strength against him. Now, when you got a guy like Nick Bosa, he wants to line up in that wide nine and just come. So what you do is you run draw plays, use his up the field quickness against him. And you know what Jalen Hurts does? If you give him a draw play and it's him running the draw play, that means you have an extra blocker that running back now, that since he's not getting the ball, can lead up and go up and hit a guy like Fred Warner, block a guy like Fred Warner or Dre Greenlaw. He's just an extra blocker. So you have to defend all 11 guys because of Jalen Hurts' ability to go out there and make things happen with his legs. His intangibles make him a threat. It's not a bad word to be a dual threat quarterback, not these days. It used to be, but not these days. Because Jalen's arm is such a valuable asset for him, his deep ball, the way he can throw the ball, you know, and get the ball to the outside. You have to worry about what he's going to do on these read options and what he's going to do on these RPOs. He's just as good throwing the ball as he is running the ball. And it frustrates you because anything you pick, he can make it wrong. You think he's going to run the ball, he passes. Same thing, vice versa. He always can make you wrong in your reads, and that's how good he is.
All right, let's go to Brock Purdy. I think Brock Purdy is one of the incredible stories of the 2022 season. Here's a guy, Mr. Relevant, last player taken in the draft. You know his story well. Nobody's thinking about this guy. Gets in out of necessity in the Miami game, and he hits the ground running. And since he's taken over, this 49ers machine is still rolling. They won, what, 12 games in a row. He's got 16 touchdown passes, only 4 interceptions. Ball comes out of his hands quick. He doesn't make a lot of mistakes, doesn't turn the ball over much. How does the Eagles defense disrupt this dude, man? I mean – you know, we keep talking about he's a rookie, but he doesn't play like a rookie.
You make him a rookie. That's what you have to do. You have to make him a rookie, and that's by making him uncomfortable. I said it, you know, earlier on. I said they have to play press coverage. When you play press coverage, you take that first read away from him. Now he has to go back and use, you know, his progression as far as seeing where he needs to go with the ball. And he's a young guy. He doesn't know all that yet. And plus, he's going to be in front of a crowd that he's never experienced. He's never experienced what he's about to face going into this hostile environment that we call the link. He hasn't went against fans that don't like you, sincerely don't like you, and will call you everything but a child of God. He hasn't gone against – he's only played 2 away games. He's only had 2 away games. And, you know, he played in – one of the away games was in with the Raiders. There's nothing but transients there. You know, it's people that they're Raider fans, but they're not hometown Raider fans. We have hometown Philadelphia Eagles fans that mortgage their house to get, you know, tickets to watch these games.
Yeah, yeah.
These are fans that love their Eagles football, good, bad, or indifferent. They're going to tell you about their folks. They watch film just like their coaches. You know what I'm saying? This is a hostile environment. He's not going to be able to. He's not even going to be able to hear his thoughts, let alone try to hear what the snap count is or what he's telling these guys. They won't hear each other. Can they, as a unit, an offensive unit, deal with those type of situations? Will his tackles be able to get out of their stance when you're going against a guy like Hassan Reddick and Brandon Graham and Sweat? You know what I'm saying? Will he be able to get guys where they're supposed to be at when they can't hear what the play is? This is a different type of environment. And this is a hostile environment, but they don't like you. They may spit on you. It's just a different type of fandom when you get here at the link. So I don't know if he, you know, as a rookie, can he come in and silence the crowd? We'll see. But it's up to Rich Gannon to go out there and make sure, not Rich Gannon, but whatever his name is.
Jonathan Gannon.
It's up to Jonathan Gannon to go out there and dictate tempo, get his guys going, and make sure they play the physical brand of football that we've seen them play.
I like something you said a moment ago. You brought up some names, and they're on my notes here. Which made me chuckle a little bit that you mentioned this before I got to it. Sirianni, Gannon, Shanahan, Ryan. No matter how much we break down this game, there's always these unknown elements in every game.
Yes.
So what are we missing in the unknown category, B. Brooks?
In the unknown category, there's a lot we don't, because when you're going against a team as basic as the defense is that D'Amico Ryans puts out there, there's no magical elixir that's helping them. There's no blitz package or anything else that's making this defense good. It's good old-fashioned effort and want to that's making this defense good. I'd much rather them be like Wink Martindale. I'd rather be a defense like Wink Martindale when you know they're going to blitz. Jalen can read the blitz. This is just a down-home, good old-fashioned, I'm going to punch you in the face type of defense. We're going to line up where we are, and we're going to go. When you play against defense like that, you got to come with your hat. You got to come with your lunchbox. You got to come with, you know, with you know, old blue-collar mentality. You know what I'm saying? These guys come and they're going to fight you. And when you have players like that, it's really, really, really hard, man. It's really hard to really get them in a position where you're making them get back on their heels. Okay. You got to force them to get back on their heels. So that's the biggest thing, you know. It's just a plain old type of defense, and they just line them up and go. You rarely get defenses like that. And those type of defenses, you know, you kind of fear the most because you could tell with a blitzing defense what they're trying to do. But when you got guys lining up in front of you and they're trying to whoop you, that means it's a mentality type of thing. Their mental is like, all right, we're bigger than stronger, faster, more intense. We're meaner than you are. And when everybody's believing in that, that's when you have a great defense.
Who could be an X factor for the Eagles in this game? Somebody we don't talk about much. We know who the stars are in this game, but who's maybe one of the understudies in this game that we're not talking about?
Wow. Somebody, you know, we're not talking about. I mean, it's going to have a great game. I mean, that's tough, man. But you mean maybe a guy that I'm going to go on the offensive side of the ball, and I'm going to go with a guy that, you know, that's going to have to dictate tempo, and we haven't liked him in a while. He's not done anything in a while, but this is his time to show up. With the simple fact that this defense gets thrown on a lot, and they have a lot of big plays. But a guy like Quez Watkins can just all of a sudden pop up on the scene and be, you know, a guy that can go deep. Quez Watkins, like you stated earlier today,
yeah.
We forget that he had that 95-yard bomb that, you know what I'm saying, and long play, even though we didn't score on it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And that's crazy to have a 95-yard run, pass player, and then we go 95 yards and don't score, don't get a single point on it when we played him last year. He can get behind you, but he's got to finish the deal. He's got to finish the deal. He could be a threat and somebody that can go in and dictate tempo because it's going to be a low-scoring game. And if he can bust out and you know, get a long one on him and set the tempo, it makes them think, you know what I'm saying? It makes those guys worry. They don't want to run down in the box anymore. So he can do that. Another guy, you know, the defensive side of the ball that we haven't really talked about in a while who can go ahead and mix it up is, you know, Jordan Davis. We may need a big day out of him stopping the run. Mm-hmm. He's got to be a space eater in the middle of that defense. He's got to help stop the run, get penetration, and be a factor. I mean, he could be a guy to go up the middle of that defense and knock some balls down. Purdy is not one of the tallest guys in the world. But if we can get a guy like him, 6'7", 6'6", and get up the field, create a little pressure in the middle of that defense, knock some balls down, he could be a tempo setter for this defense. Mm.
You know, you've been in this business associated with football a long time, man. 12 years in the NFL. And then you transitioned over to the media side. You were a producer for a while at ESPN, and now you're a talent NBC Sports Philadelphia, as well as Jacob Sports Media on the show Sports Take on a Daily Basis. Did you ever think back then, before you started this journey after football, that you'd be doing what you're doing now?
No, because I don't like to talk. The only time I talked was when I was on the field.
Wait. You don't like to talk?
Right.
When did that happen? Ever since I've known you, you haven't stopped.
We talk when we're on air, but when we were not on air, what am I usually doing? Sitting on my desk doing what?
Watching a movie.
For the most part, that's what I do, man. I'm not really a talkative guy, but you know, I mean, I had some relevant stuff to say, so I transitioned into this. But it wasn't like I wanted to do this. You know, I didn't see myself being a guy that's going to be on TV talking. You know, that's not what I wanted to do. So if I really wanted my druthers, I'd probably want to be a mechanic or a professional fisherman, one of the two. But I end up, you know, doing that, letting you talk me into coming in and talking on TV and then getting good at it, you know, from your tutelage. You know, I appreciate you.
Well, you know what, man? You family, man. You know, I'd do anything for you. But I'm going to throw this barb out here. I think you would have been better mechanic than you are fisherman. So I'm just saying.
Boom, boom. Oh, those took some kidney shots there, man.
One final question to you about you. What? No, no. One final question to you.
Bass fishing, man. You can take me bass fishing again, but I owe you one.
Yeah, man. We got to go. And I got a spot, too, that we can go. We can walk around the whole circumference of the pond and our own leisure. Nobody bothering you. It's beautiful scenery, a 26-acre property. Yeah, we're going to have some fun. We're going to go.
All right. Definitely.
Yeah. Last question I have for you. What do you think has surprised you most about where you are now as an on-air talent? What do you think you even stand back sometimes and say, man, I'm even surprised at myself I'm able to do certain things?
The way I'm able to break down what I see on tape and put it into layman's terms, that the casual fan can see what I'm seeing. Because I see stuff that regular people don't see. And, you know, and it's mind-blowing, you know, that I saw this, but I'm able to dictate it to people and see it so they can see my world. Like, everybody's saying that the pick that last week that Bradbury had was a blitz. It actually wasn't a blitz. They only brought four on the play. What they did was they switched assignments. On the play, CJ Garner Johnson, he came from depth, and he ran through the gap. The reason he did that is because he had the man in the scheme, they switched. So the defensive end, Sweat, took Saquon Barkley man-to-man. So when Saquon Barkley flared out, he had to go with him. Sweat went with him. So he didn't rush on the play. He had to go into coverage. That means he was the fourth man. They just didn't block him going through the line. That's just a great play by Gannon of orchestrating a play in which he switched assignments and still brought four people. So it looked like a blitz, but it really wasn't because they had the defensive end out in coverage as opposed to having him rush the passer. So when I saw that, that's exactly what I saw. And I saw it from the beginning, but everybody else was saying it was a blitz. And I was like, a blitz is when you bring five or more. You know what I'm saying? One more blocker than the offense has to block. And it looked like it, but it actually wasn't. It was actually switched assignment. And then Bradbury did a heck of a job just going up, read it, and undercutting the route and making a play.
Well, man, you break it down better than anybody in the region, man. And as always, man, I appreciate you giving me some time as we get ready for the explosion coming up at Lincoln Financial Field on Sunday.
Can't wait.
The number one seeded Eagles against the number two seeded 49ers. I cannot wait. B. Brooks, always appreciate you, bro.
Yes, sir.
All right, that's going to wrap up this latest edition of Gun on One, powered by the Jacob Sports Media YouTube machine. For my friend, my colleague, and probably my biggest antagonist, Barrett Brooks, I'm Derek Gunn. Hey, thanks for hanging out with us. We'll see you next week, hopefully talking about the Eagles heading to the Super Bowl. Until then, stay blessed, but more importantly, be a blessing to each and every person you encounter. Until next week, so long, everybody.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.